the challenge that it brought to me. But if you're in Psalms chapter number 23, say amen. Amen. Verse number 1, everybody knows this chapter. We could probably all quote it, but just for fun, let's read it this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. And I'm thankful that David, he didn't say, I hope the Lord's my shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I want to ask you this question this morning. Is he your shepherd? I shall not want. I believe this was a statement from David saying, I don't want anything else. I shall not want anything else. Verse number 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. This is just a little side note, but he didn't lead him to the still waters. He led him beside the still waters. Amen. We got to make the decision to go drink. Amen. Verse number 3, he restored my soul. I cook, and I'm talking about really know how to cook. And I'm talking about they'll fill that table up with every ungodly sugar filled, Brother Sheldon, carb filled. I'm talking about just ain't nothing healthy, and I love it. Amen. I love it. We all sit down together and we fellowship and we laugh. Amen. And we talk to one another. And I believe that's what the table represents. And as I was looking through this, I got to thinking about the table of showbread back in the Old Testament. It was a picture of fellowship. The Bible tells us about this table of showbread. If you look up the word showbread, it literally means faces or presence. In other words, it was a table of presence. Okay? Y'all stay with me. The bread was to be laid in two rows with six loaves. Amen. There are 66 books in our Bible. All right? So the Bible was on the table. How do we fellowship with the Lord? Come on now. I'm used to preaching to teenagers, so I ask questions. Y'all got to answer me, okay? Well, how do we fellowship with the Lord? With the Word of God. And this is a great picture of the Word of God being right here on the table and how we can fellowship with the Lord. But in Exodus chapter number 25 and verse number 30, the Bible says, and thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me, big word right here, always. Always. There was always to be bread on the table of showbread. Why? Because we are always to be in fellowship with the Lord. That's what I want to talk about this morning is fellowship. The table. Having fellowship with God. Being able to sit down at the table, if you will, with God. And a lot of this is going to be kind of pictures, if you will. I'm going to share some personal stories about me and my wife's table and me and my parents' table. And I'm going to try not to get on my wife's bad side, but I'm going to share some stories, and I hope it's a great picture to you about the fellowship of God. Every single one of us should be in fellowship with God. Every single one of us. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you sat down at the table of fellowship with the Lord? When's the last time you sat down at the table? Number one, I'm just going to be quick. I got 4 points, but it's not the same kind of 4 points my dad would have. Amen? All right, so y'all just stay with me. I got 4 points. Number one, let's look in verse number 5. It's a prepared table. A prepared table. Verse number 5. Thou preparest a table. Thou, who's he speaking to? Speaking of. God. God. Thou, he's saying this. Thou prepared a table for me. Let me tell you something this morning. God has prepared a table for you. God has prepared fellowship for you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to talk to you, Brother Jeremy. He wants to walk with you each and every single day. When you wake up in the morning, he wants to be waiting on you. He's got something prepared for you each and every single day. The Lord prepared this table. My mom used to make me set the table, and she used to say this, the table's not going to set itself. The table's not going to set itself. Somebody had to set the table. Somebody had to prepare the table. Somebody had to cook. Somebody had to go to the grocery store. Somebody had to go cook. Somebody had to prepare it. Somebody had to set the table. And somebody prepared that table. Now, I don't know how y'all's parents are, and some of y'all's are parents, and some of y'all's grandparents, and some of y'all's great-grandparents. Now, I'm just going off of looks, okay? All right? Some of y'all's great-grandparents, all right? But I know this. When I used to eat, My dad said this. If you scoop it, you're going to eat it. You don't go put stuff on your plate if you ain't going to eat it. And I remember I sit down at that table, Brother Sheldon, and sometimes my mom, you know, she bless her heart, she tried. It just didn't taste good. All right? It just didn't taste good. And I said, oh, man, I don't want the rest of this. And my dad said, no, you ain't getting up. Your mama prepared that for you. Your mama prepared that for you. Well, I don't like it. Well, it don't matter. Y'all know my dad. Y'all can hear his authority as he's telling me this. It don't matter if you like it or not. Your mama prepared this for you and you're going to eat it. Listen to me this morning. God's prepared a table for you. And who are we to look at God and say, I don't want that? Who are we to look at God and say, that's just not what I'm in the mood for today, Lord? We come to church and we only want to get the dessert, amen? But God said, hold on a minute. I've been working on this all day. Hold on a minute. Before you turn down what I've been preparing, it took me some time to make this. It took me some effort to make this. You know how Jesus prepared the table? Hey, all the way back in the garden. The Bible says that Adam and the Lord walked together in the cool of the day. My youth group, you should know where I'm going with this. They walked together hand in hand every single day, but something happened called sin. And when sin happened, all of a sudden Adam wanted to hide. All of a sudden Adam didn't want to walk with the Lord anymore. Are y'all with me? And from that moment on, fellowship was broken. Fellowship was broken. Then 2,000 years ago, amen, somebody say amen, Jesus died for me and you. You know what he's doing when he was dying? He was preparing a table for you. There's no way you and I can have fellowship with Christ without the cross, amen. He can't even look on us without the cross, amen. When he prepares the table for you and I, who are we to say, Lord, I'm just not feeling it today. The preacher gets up and preaches something that steps on your toes, and we say, Lord, that, you know, I'm just not in the mood for that today. Who are we to say that? That food is fellowship. That conviction is fellowship. He wants to be close to you, Brother Richard. Let me ask you this question. What are you taking for granted that the Lord's prepared for you? God's prepared so many things for us. Man, he's been cooking all day. Bear with me. He's been cooking all day. Brother Edwin, he's been setting the table. My granny, she didn't have a job. She had a job, but it wasn't one that paid her, amen. And she would all day, she'd work hard. But I'm telling you, every day when we got off the bus, me and my six cousins, we would all run to granny's house. And most of these young women don't know this, that this ever existed. But my granny made a pan of biscuits every single day from scratch. Every day. I mean, you walked into granny's house, right there on the stove, there was a pan of biscuits. And she'd say, you only get one. And y'all don't even know about this, amen. Glory to God, I'm fixing to have a fit, amen. I'd take that old cane syrup, amen. Tear that biscuit up. Amen. Amen. I'll get a little shouting going on now, amen. Get that cane syrup going right on top of that biscuit. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some of y'all ain't even shouted all morning. Now you just popped up. Now you in it. Amen. That cane syrup was good. I remember we'd eat. My granny, she was a great cook. She cooked all this big old spread. And all us kids wanted was biscuits. All us kids wanted was biscuits. Well, can I have another biscuit? Can I have another? No, you can finish what's on your plate. And that's what I want to encourage you to do this morning. God's prepared some things for you. And sometimes it don't taste good. And sometimes it wasn't what you was in the mood for. But he wants to fellowship with you. He wants to fellowship with you. And he's prepared it for you. He's put an effort into it, into you having it. Some people say, I don't like what's on the table. Here's your quote right here. It's not what's on the table that matters. It's who's in the chair. It don't matter what's on the table. God's sitting at the table. Just sit down. Just sit down and fellowship with him. Amen. Number one, it's a prepared table. What are you taking for granted that the Lord has prepared for you? Number two, it's not only a prepared table, it's a personal table. Verse number five says, thou preparest a table before me. Before me. Before me. It's a personal table. There's two people that can sit at this table. Thou preparest a table before me. There's two people that can sit at this table. Here's the problem. God wants to fellowship with us, Brother Greg, but we got all our friends with us. There ain't but two chairs. Thou and me. Who are you trying to put in God's chair? Who are you trying to put in God's chair? That's what I told the youth group the other day. I told them, I said, all y'all, they say this. How many of y'all ever heard a kid say this? Brother Greg, I know you have. Well, we've been friends our whole life. Yeah, but they're detrimental to your spiritual life. This happens to adults as well. Well, we've been friends our whole life. I've been knowing him since we was kids. Yeah, but every time you spend time with him, you break fellowship with the Lord. Why is that? Why is it when I hang around a certain group of people that I break fellowship with the Lord? This is why. You've taken him out of his seat and you put somebody else in it. God wants it to be you and him. He wants it to be you and him. Listen, some of us, we take God out of his seat and we put our phone in that seat. We fellowship more with that phone and with social media and with everything else and emails and text messages than we ever do with the Lord. My question to you this morning is this. Who is sitting in God's seat? Who's sitting in God's seat? Why is it that God has to compete with things in your life? God wants to fellowship with you. He wants it to be you and him. He wants to be able to talk to you about things that you don't necessarily want to talk to everybody out loud about. He wants to be able to talk to you about things. He wants to be able to tell you he loves you. He wants to be able to tell you things that you wouldn't hear unless you were sitting at the table. He wants that intimacy with you. He wants to be able to sit down with you, Brother Vic, in the morning time before your day gets started. And he wants to be able to talk to you before you get busy and you get everything else on your mind. Who's sitting in God's chair? Who's sitting in God's chair? Man, that got all over me. When I was reading this scripture, there's just two people in this scripture. There's just two people that David mentions in this scripture, and it's God and himself. And I'm afraid that, I know in my life, I let all these things, Brother Randy, forgive me for this. I let golf sit in God's chair. Wayne, forgive me. I let golf sit in God's chair. I let my phone sit in God's chair. Are y'all with me? I let my friends sit in God's chair. Uh-oh, y'all ain't gonna like this. I let my family sit in God's chair. I got kids, so I can say this. Some of y'all put more of a priority on your kids than you do God. You let your kids sit in God's chair. God wants it just to be you and him. He wants to spend time with you. Now, before you get upset, understand, this is the God of the universe. This is the God who spoke and everything that you see around you exists. This is the God that's bigger than we can even comprehend. You can't even wrap your mind around it. And that same God, as big as he is, as famous as he is, as powerful as he is, Brother Edwin wants to spend just a little time with you every day. He wants to fellowship with you. Before you get mad, understand what a privilege it is that the God of the universe actually loves you enough that he wants to spend time with you. Who's sitting in God's chair in your life? There's only two chairs. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You can't have it both ways. Well, I want to have everybody at my table. I love everybody. No, that ain't how it works. It's God. That's it. He wants to fellowship with you. And if there's anything at that table that is distracting you from him, you need to get rid of it. You need to let it go. Good. Amen. Y'all mad at me? Let me ask this question. Who or what is sitting at God's seat at your table? Number one, it's a prepared table. Number two, it's a personal table. Number three, it's a protected table. Verse number five, the Bible says, thou preparest the table before me, listen to this next part, in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence of mine enemies. Man, what a place to put a table, right? What a place. Y'all ready for this? Quit worrying about the location of the table. Quit worrying about where the table's at. Some of y'all sitting over there, you got your arms crossed saying, I just don't like where he put the table. I just don't like where he put it. He put it right in the middle of my enemies. Y'all with me? Everybody, listen, everybody wants the table. Brother Greg, why didn't he just put the table in the green pasture? Why didn't he put the table by the still waters? Simple, right? I mean, Lord, what was he thinking? We don't like the location. Well, I just don't like, I don't know why y'all got to go down to that church all the time. I can spend time with the Lord right here where I'm at. Well, I don't know why you got to go down to the church. I don't know why you got to be so involved with the church all the time. I can have fellowship with the Lord right here in this tree stand. Right here on this golf cart. Y'all forgive me, Lord, help me. Lord's just all over me this morning, Brother Randy. Right here in this golf cart. Are y'all with me? That ain't how it works. He puts a table somewhere, that's where you need to go sit down. I'm thankful for the table that we get to sit at right here. I'm thankful for the table I get to sit at my house. By the way, if you ain't got a spot, you need to get you a spot. What you talking about? I'm talking about where the table's at. And you need to sit down every now and then. Not just every now and then, every day. Amen. I noticed this, quit worrying about the location of the table. There's not a better table. There's not a better table. Well, it's got all over me. Sometimes in my life, I think, man, I wish I would. I wish I could have. It's not a better table. Well, I wish I could go sit at Brother Edwin's table. It looks like he. No. There's no table like your own table. So just sit down at your table. Amen. Well, look at Brother Vic over there. His table ain't in the middle of his enemies. You don't know that. Well, look at Brother Ryan back there. He's got everything. All he's got it all. He's got everything he wants. He's got the nicest table around. It looks like it from here. Everybody's got their own table. And we've got to learn to sit down at the table. Quit worrying about the location of the table. Well, I don't want to sit there. It's in the middle of my enemies. I don't want to sit there. It's near that doubt. It's near that discouragement. It's near that depression. Quit worrying about the location. Quit worrying about who's not at the table. You can't sit at the table in fellowship with God worrying about who's not there. You can't sit at the table in fellowship with the Lord and worry about your enemies that just, did you see the way she looked at me? Well, I can't believe she's got the nerve. Huh? You can't be in fellowship with God and keep looking around. You can't be in fellowship with God and be worrying about all the enemies that's surrounding the table. It's not about what's on the table. It's not about what's around the table. It's about who's at the table. That's what I want you to understand this morning. It's the person that's sitting across from you. And he loves you and he cares about you and he wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants to fellowship with you and he wants to help you with those problems that you just can't seem to get rid of. He wants to help you with that darkness that you're struggling with, that you're worried about and you can't go to sleep at night. He wants to be able to fellowship with you. He wants to talk to you about it. He wants to tell you what he thinks about it. He wants to hear your thought. He wants to fellowship with you. But you got to sit down at the table. And you not only got to sit down at the table, but you've got to put everything else out of your view and just focus on him. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to talk to you. Quit worrying about the location of the table. Quit worrying about who's not at the table. I like this. God doesn't have to eliminate your enemies to fellowship with you. Well, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll give you the glory. He ain't got to do that. He's already done enough. Well, Lord, if you'll take this pain away from me, if you'll take this depression, if you'll take this doubt, he don't have to. You can still fellowship with him. Well, Lord, I'm just waiting on you to do this, and then I'll start spending more time with you. I'll start coming to church. I'll start reading my Bible. I'll start praying. I'll start really praying. You wait. My dad always says, if you waiting on me, you backing up. If you waiting on the Lord, you backing up. You backing up. He doesn't have to eliminate your enemy. How many of y'all saved in here? Raise your hand. He's already done enough for you. He's already done enough for you. Quit complaining about your enemies. Uh-oh. Y'all don't get mad at me. Quit complaining. Get in fellowship with him. Sit down at the table. Amen. Remember, the one who is at the table with you is bigger than all the enemies around you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your enemies. He's bigger than your doubt. He's bigger than your disappointment. He's bigger than your past. He's bigger than your abandonment. He's bigger than your divorce. Amen. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to fellowship with you. Quit looking around. Quit worrying about who's around the table, who's not at the table, the location of the table. That table, number three, it's a protected table. When I'm at the table with him, nothing else matters. When I'm at the table with him, I can focus on him and not focus on everything else. Everybody trying to find peace and they've yet to sit down at the table. Trust me, just try it. Just sit down at the table, I promise you. Let me ask you this question. What place or person intimidates you from the fellowship, from fellowship with the Lord? Number one, it's a prepared table. Number two, it's a personal table. Number three, it's a protected table. And lastly, it's a promise table. It's a promise table. James chapter number 4 and verse number 8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him. Where do you think they were supping at? At the table. And he with me. It's a promise table. I can guarantee you this. I can guarantee you this. If you want him, he wants you. If you want a fellowship with him, he won't leave you hanging. If you sit down at the table, you won't sit there by yourself. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to sit down and fellowship with you. And I promise you, church, I promise you, if you'll sit down, if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. If you'll open the door, the Bible says he'll come and sup with you. He'll come sit at the table with you. But you got to open the door. You got to open the door. Amen. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you sat at the table? Brother Jake's coming. Come on the guitar for me. When's the last time you sat at the table? Let me ask this question. This got all over me now. Who's sitting in the Lord's chair? Who's sitting in the Lord's chair? My wife, she does love me. And we have this favorite restaurant called Jonah's. Anybody ever been to Jonah's? Somebody say amen. Them cheese grits, that shrimp, Lord have mercy. Them Brussels sprouts, some of y'all just turned your nose up, just trust me. Brussels sprouts, some hush puppies. And we'll go every time we have our anniversary, Brother Edwin, we'll go to Jonah's. So March 5th of this year, if you're looking for me, I'm in Thomasville, amen. But if I take my wife to Jonah's for our anniversary and I call Brother Trent and Brother Jake and Nick and say, hey, y'all meet us there, pray for me. My wife's liable to kill me, amen. You want to know why? Because she just wants it to be me and her. She don't want nobody else at the table. She just wants to spend time with me. She does love me, I think. And she just wants to spend time with me. Women, y'all know what I'm talking about. Men, y'all know what I'm talking about. She just wants to spend time with me. I know, Brother Sheldon, I know. On an anniversary trip, don't invite nobody. All right? Don't invite nobody. Don't say, hey, y'all come with. No, it's just me and her. Guess what? God's the same way. The Bible says he's a jealous God. And he wants to spend time with you. He wants to spend more time with you. He wants to fellowship with you. And he's prepared this great table. Stuff on it you didn't even know you needed. He's prepared this great table. He spent so much time preparing it. And he just can't wait till you sit down and spend a little time with him. But the problem is we're too busy. We're running here. We're running there. We're worrying about who's around the table. We're worried about who's not at the table. We're trying to bring everybody to the table. It's simple. It's such a simple principle. Fellowship with God is you in him. And so many of us neglect it. I hope this challenged you like it challenged me. Because I'll be honest with you. There's been some times the Lord's been waiting on me and I never showed up. There's been some times when the Lord was excited to spend just a little time with me and I brought everybody else. I brought everything else with me. There's been some times where I had the opportunity to spend time with him, but I was focused on everything else. I wonder who's in here this morning. It's been a long time since you sat down at the table. It's been a long time since you fellowshiped with him. If you ever have fellowship with him and sat down at the table with him, you know what I'm talking about. There ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. What he's prepared for you at that table, I can't even tell you about it. I wish I could explain it, but it's inexplainable. How many of us this morning, including myself, come down this altar and say, Lord, I know it's been a while, but I want to talk to you. How many of you, come on. I know it's been a while, but I know it's been a while, but I sure would like to fellowship with you this morning. I know I fell off the deep end and I'm ready to get back where I need to be. You can do that this morning. All it takes is one prayer. All it takes is opening that door. All it takes is drawing nigh unto him. And I promise you, he'll draw nigh unto you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for loving us. I thank you for saving me, first of all, Lord, but I thank you for the fellowship that I am privileged to have with you every single day. Lord, I don't even deserve to be standing up here this morning. I don't deserve the clothes on my back. I don't deserve my family. Lord, I don't deserve this church. I don't deserve the Word of God, but you give it to me every single week. I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the fellowship, Lord, that you're willing to give me any time that I'm willing to sit down at the table. I pray every single one of us, Lord, as we leave out of here this morning, would put a priority on fellowship. Lord, would understand, Lord, that you do want to spend time with us, Lord. You do want to fellowship with us. Lord, how often we neglect the table. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we leave out of here this morning, Lord. I pray that you'd help every single one of us to get closer to you. Draw nigh unto you. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed, real quickly. At the beginning of this chapter, before the Lord ever gave David a table, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I wonder if there's somebody in here this morning, the Lord ain't your shepherd. What do you mean by that? You've never asked Jesus to save you. You don't have to leave out of here this morning without doing that. You don't have to leave out of here. Listen, there's a place, there's a real place called heaven. And it's wonderful. And there's a real place called hell. And it's terrible. And it's real. People can tell you all they want to, it ain't real. It is real. And every single one of us will make a decision this morning, if we haven't already, to either accept Jesus or reject Jesus. It's plain and simple. It's two decisions, accept Him or reject Him. And this is the thing, you can accept Him this morning, or if you not already accept Him, you'll reject Him this morning. Jesus wants to save you. I wonder if there's anybody in here. Just be honest with yourself. Just be honest. Have you ever asked Jesus to save you? I'm not talking about a date. I'm not talking about a date that your grandma wrote in your Bible. I'm not talking about a date that you don't remember, you don't know nothing about. I'm talking about a moment in time where you can go back to that you for sure asked Jesus to save you. If you've never done that, would you look up at me? Would you make eye contact with me real quick? You can put your head down. Is there anybody else? I'm not calling anybody out. I'm not embarrassing anybody. I'm not coming to you. Just be honest. Is that you? Put your head down. Anybody else? Brother Dalton, I'm just not sure. Maybe they say, I just never have. I want to, but I never have. Anybody else like that? We've already got two. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? All right, listen, if you looked up at me, will you look back at me just for a second? Just for a second. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come to you. Real quickly. Listen, it's so simple. It's so simple. Somebody can show you in the Bible how you can be saved. Literally, it'll take 5 minutes, maybe less than that. They can show you how you can do it. You can get this done, and you can go to sleep with peace tonight. Not have to worry about your eternity. Would you want to do that? It'll take 2 minutes max. Do you want to do that? If you want to do that, I want you to stand right here. I want you to go get my wife. You know who my wife is. She'll show you. Nobody's looking around. Everybody heads bowed. If you want to do that, it'll take a couple minutes and be done. You can know for sure before you walk out of here today. Do you want to do that this morning? You want to do that this morning? All right. Listen, if you looked up at me, and for whatever reason you don't want to come forward this morning, listen to me. Don't rush out of here. Find me after the service. Find my wife after the service. Get it nailed down. It's not worth risking it. It's not worth risking it. Amen. Lord, thank you for today. I thank you for loving us. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for Brother Jake, all the singers this morning. Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you that I get to go to a church that's alive. I get to go to a church that's happy, excited about you. I pray every single one of us as we walk out of here this morning, as we go home, Lord, when we wake up in the morning, I pray, Lord, that we would not neglect the table that you've already prepared for us. Lord, help us to sit down and fellowship with you. We'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all for coming this morning. It's great to see everybody. We got a baptism. Amen. Glory to God. Help us, Brother Jesse.
Church, this is Aubrey. She got saved during a revival and come to follow the Lord in baptism. Aubrey, because of your profession of faith, I baptize you now, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism. Praise and walk.
Amen. 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 She got saved during revival. Amen. And she's excited about it. Her family, as you can imagine, is excited about it. And I hope you as a church is excited about it. Amen. That means something right there. She's saved. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all for coming. Y'all be careful getting out of here. If y'all need anything, please let me know. My dad will be out of town this week.